Max defeated Tetrium. Silver Max has also won the Grade 3 Ocean Port at Monmouth and Churchill's opening burst stakes this year for earnings of over $1,208,000. He's entered today in the Grade 1 Chadwell Turf Mile right out of Keeneland. Then there are 2013 stakes winners Lulu Wong and Badge of Glory plus Fly Alexis Fly, champion in South America. He's placed in the Grade 1 80 Reed this year. And Doug's Buddy stakes place this year and won 4 stakes and graded place earlier. There's always another Badge of Silver. On the same card with Jose C. View, well, she's popular. A 3-year-old Badge of Silver filly bred by Brereton C. Jones, and she easily won a $70,300 allowance race. Badge of Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, now I'm going to whistle the open. All right, well, this is Horse Tales, and we're here at the Thoroughbred Center. Beautiful day, although I ran through a shower coming in here.
Did you really? Another one?
Yeah, and of course, I got up to go down to the barn this morning about 6 o'clock to feed the cats, and my welfare cats, and it was raining then. My dog, Boonie. Real name is, he's a Cocker Spaniel, so his real name is Spaniel Boone. So Jackie named him that.
I saved that name from the time I was in high school. Yeah.
Spaniel Boone. I told you, you can call him that if you want to, but we're going to call him Boonie. I'm not.
I know, and he is such a wonderful dog. He brings us dead things every day.
Yeah.
Shares things.
Yeah, I woke up from a nap one day with a dead mole.
And he hides them in his cheeks somewhere, somehow. And you open up his mouth to get it, you might as well give up.
Yeah. But he's alive.
He brought in two mice about 2 days ago.
He's another rescue.
Yeah.
We got him out of from down in Cynthiana. The Humane Society down there.
Yeah.
And anyway, we tickled to death with him. Well, what we're going to do today, Dr. Doug Byers, of course, will do our vet segment. Michael Blowen from Old Friends. He's got a big shindig going on tomorrow evening. We'll down in Midway. He'll talk a little bit about that. Mike Warren from McCauley Brothers is going to stop by. I asked him to stop by to talk about that feed down there or something, because I never saw anything like it. We always announced the number of stakes winners that were over the previous weekend that were raised on McCauley products. Last week they had 10 stakes winners, 7 graded stakes winners, well, 6 I believe it was, and 3 grade 1, including one in Europe. It was unbelievable. Anyway, and let's see, Steve Moody is going to come on. He was with BRIS, Bloodstock Research Information Services, and they published... He is Kentucky Handicapper Sheets. We'll get him on during the second hour. Big day out of Keeneland, so we'll have him look at the 3 grade ones. There's 5 stakes out there today. And, of course, Wise Dan goes into Shadwell Turf Mile. Then there's a Breeders' Futurity, the Dixiana Breeders' Futurity, the First Lady Stakes, and they're all grade 1. Then the Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes, and the Woodford Stakes, a grade 2 and a grade 3 race right there. And let's see what else we're going to do today. Might take a look at, there were any Alcibiades yesterday. I might take a look at Alcibiades, as a matter of fact, in 1927. Kentucky Oaks winner. She was, of course, bred by Mr. Hal Price Healy. And there was the inaugural winner was Sweet Patootie. I remember Sweet Patootie. I never got to see her run because I was in the service at the time. But she won the inaugural running of the Alcibiades, and of course Moccasin won it. We might talk a little bit about her, some of the others. And I ran across, I've been looking for this thing for I don't know how long. I had a good friend of mine, Dr. Stuart Burns, narrated Father Riley's Horse by the Australian A.B. Patterson. He's a guy who's also the author of The Man from Snowy River and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's really good. I've been looking for it for years now, 4 or 5 years and everything. I drug out an old tape recorder and opened it up, and it was in the tape recorder. So I found
That's
it.
That's wonderful.
I found it, and we've got it, and we're going to play it in the second hour. And got to say a couple of things. The old-timers are passing away now that we've lost a couple of good great horsemen here just in the last week when Tommy Asbury passed away. from over at Hedgewood Farm, and I knew Tommy very well, knew his daddy before him. Charlie was his daddy, and they operated Hedgewood out there for, gosh, I don't know, something like 60 years or something like that, and 65 years, I think it was. And he was a gifted horseman, and he came in through the 4-H project. He was a graduate of UK, wonderful tennis player. As a 5-time winner of the Lexington City Men's Singles Tennis Tournament, and he is member of the Tennis Hall of Fame at University of Kentucky. Wonderful player, and Tommy was an awful nice guy, and sympathetic to his family, and he sure will be missed. And then, of course, Harry Scott passed away on Shandon Farm, out on Russell Cave Road. Third generation horseman, you know, Harry was. His father managed Faraway Farm. Harry managed it a little while after his father had passed away. Some of his clients down through the years were Paul Mellon and George Strawbridge Jr., E.P. Evans, Preston Birch, and Daniel Wallenstein. And he has supervised the construction of Wallaway Farm over on the Ironworks Pike for Mr. George Humphrey, who was Secretary of the Treasury under President Eisenhower. And he was just a nice man and a wonderful family. So we've lost a couple of good ones. And well, here comes one. I don't know how good he is, but Michael Blowen just walked in. Where's Doc?
He's coming.
On his way.
He's a deep closer.
Yeah, closer. Michael Bowen has made the scene.
Is that Tommy Asbury you were talking about?
Yeah, Tommy was.
That was really nice of him. I can't tell you how many contributions old friends have gotten in his name.
Is that right?
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, well, we better send you one, too. Jack and I have discussed it, but I haven't sat down and written the check yet. But we will.
Yeah, well, that was very, very, he's a great guy, and it's very, very thoughtful of him to think about us in a difficult times, you know.
I knew his father real well, too. And they've had to, gosh, they've owned that farm for 65 years.
There was a nice notice about him in the Keeneland program yesterday.
Is that right, in mm-hmm. the program? Yeah, and of course, Harry Scott passed away. I don't know who. Harry, you didn't see much of him in the last few years. But he had Shandon Farm over here on Russell Cave Road.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure
nice
that,
place.
I'm sure that Doc knows them both. Harry Scott and Tommy Asbury.
Yeah.
You knew them both, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you did. Everybody knows Doc. Yeah. All right. Well, what do you got to say for yourself? Doc's sitting down over here.
Well, let me see. Yesterday was a fabulous day at Keeneland. I wish I had made a little money, but it was a beautiful day and a nice crowd, and it was great racing.
How about that filly at Cassie's?
Oh, my God.
Did you see that race, Doc?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is a filly.
I'm going to make my future bet on the Oaks.
Are you already?
Yeah.
This is a filly that Paul Tackett bred. And Norman Cassie trains it. That's the filly that broke her maiden against colts in a Grade Two Stakes in Canada. First start.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
First
yeah.
start. So this was yesterday. She won a Grade One race. The Alcibiades in her second start. For God's sake.
Yeah, she's something else.
Have you ever heard? I don't know if I've ever seen a horse win a Grade One Stakes in a second start in my lifetime.
Not that I can remember.
I don't know who it is. I'm sure there's one out there somewhere. But somebody.
Well, Paul deserves it.
Paul deserves it. Paul's a nice guy,
oh,
isn't he?
He's a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. I've known Paul for about 50 years, too. He's not as old as I am, though. He's just a young chick. He's 75, I think.
Wow.
He told me. Maybe I should have said that over the air. Yeah, but anyway, but that I don't see how she got through there.
And I know. Amazing performance.
Did you hear Norman Cassie?
Mark Cassie.
I know Norman, too.
Yes.
He's dead.
I was going to correct you before you corrected yourself.
You're good at that.
I am good at
that. Yeah. Last year, it's Rodeo. You ever say rodeo? You tell some cowboy it's rodeo, and he'll throw up on you.
It's a rodeo,
for God's sake.
He's calling it rodeo drive.
And this is Paris. You see this hat?
Yeah,
it's
Paris.
I know.
I know, and it's Versailles. I know what it is.
You got to learn to speak a little hard around here, boy.
Marseilles and Versailles.
God.
No, whatever it is.
All right.
But anyway, things are going good. We got today's the Festival of the Horse in Georgetown. And Craig Perrett, a great jockey, rode one of Dr. Byers' favorite horses, Unbridled, to a Derby win, is going to be the Grand Marshal of the parade tonight. So people want to go out there and see that. Yeah. It's a nice parade. And
Doc,
there's a lot of stuff going on.
Unbridled, one of your favorite horses.
Well,
get closer to that mic now. You're talking out the door.
I got to bring my legs along.
Unbridled was just a special horse and had a great disposition, very, very smart. Mm-hmm. He had medical issues for a long time. And then they finally got to him. And so they had to operate on him. And it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But so I took care of him again post-operatively. And we lost him, you know, and it was a painful loss.
Yeah.
The people loved him, the grooms, everybody, and he just is. I describe him and a couple other special horses that if you want to put a tube down their nose, just hold the tube up, and he'll put his nose over the top of it.
Get out of here.
Just anything he can do to accommodate you.
Yeah.
Nice horse.
Well,
he reminds me of you.
Yeah.
Is Doc easy to tube?
I don't know. I never put the tube in front of his nose, but he sure is accommodated.
All right. Hey, let me take a break, and we'll get back to you guys, all right? Well, the first foals by Stroll to reach the races since his return from Europe are two-year-olds. Now, he's compiling a remarkable record through September 28, 18 of them had started with 10 winners, a stakes winner, and three others that have placed in stakes, and all 10 winners won maiden specials. Skylander Girl has won a pair of stakes at Woodbine, $150,000 My Dear, and $125,000 Ontario Debutante. Manos won a maiden special at Kentucky Downs and is placed in Monmouth Tyro Stakes and the Chenery Stakes at Colonial Downs. Tuscan Getaway won a maiden special at Delaware. He's placed in the $150,000 Colon Stakes and the $125,000 Swinford Stakes at Woodbine. And Dig a Little Deeper was second in the Swinford Stakes. Now, Stroll's most recent winner is Kit Kat Man, who on September 28 won a maiden special at Arlington. He won by four lengths. Stroll's also the sire of Celticus, 2013 stakes winner as a three-year-old in Europe, and he has sired six stakes winners, including a champion two-year-old filly in Canada and a graded stakes winner at Keenan before his departure to Europe. A grade one stakes winner, nearly 800,000, and a son of Pulp. Stroll is at Claiborne Farm. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. In-depth trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive risk, pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, the Clay and Ward Agency over in Paris has been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for something like 8 decades, and that's a long time. I know. I know from back in the 30s when my dad was managing Dixiana Farm, he was doing business with Mr. James Clay Ward at that time, and they probably still are over there. I don't know, but if they're not, they should be. Mr. James Clay Ward has been gone a long time now, but he's established a tradition at the Clay Ward Agency, hard work, service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. That's why he was successful. He started the business during the Depression, but same traditions carried on by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess today. So if you want to insure your horses with nice people and know what the heck they're doing, give them a call. The number over in Paris, Kentucky is 859-987-1861. 987, then think of the Civil War as opening year, 1861. You can't miss that. 987-1864. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek, also, of course, in Bourbon County. And they've got their tradition, too, and their traditions, they got a great reputation for raising runners and for quality consignments at the major sales. They've got a consignment coming up in this October sale at Fasig Tipton. They raised a long list of top-class stakes winners, six champions, and that list just keeps growing on and on. So might give them a call, too. You can call Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan. Their number over at the farm is 987-7443, or you can see the website at IndianCreekKY.com. That's IndianCreekKY.com. Well, all righty. Well, Doc, how are you today?
Pretty good. A little slow getting started.
Well.
And modern medicine is phenomenal. And so they have a drug called rituximab. And I get that once a week by IV, real slow. But it knocks me out just a little bit.
Does it?
And yeah, and it's an antibody blocker.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll take one more Thursday, and then I'm through for probably 6 months.
Oh, good. This is all from Mayo Clinic. They're telling me to do this.
Well, they started me on it in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this is a treatment that they wanted.
Yeah, and then there's a guy in Georgetown, Dr. Mahan, who continues it on accordingly. So I get a little bit weary, and I hate being poked and jabbed. And
he hates being weary, too.
Yeah.
He hates, so, you can just look at his eyes. And
anyway.
He's not a good patient. You can tell he's not. He's not a good patient. He's not patient.
He's a doctor.
He's not patient enough to be a good patient.
Well, I Michael ruined my presentation today. I was going to talk about...
Michael ruins a lot of things.
Yeah. Hemoglobin synthesis and how you regulate your bodies and when it goes wrong. So I threw that out the window. Because he said,
why don't you throw Michael out the window?
Yeah.
That's been suggested by more than one person, including my wife.
A tribute to a guy named Stephen Ettinger, who's a small animal, one of the first internists there was, and he just had accolades constantly. So
where's he from, Doc?
He's California.
Okay.
And so... he wrote a little quote here that Michael commented on. He says, we are interested in one health, but one health is still a goal to be attained. The future holds great potential for veterinarians to work with physicians and public health officials and create one health. And so it goes beyond a typical clinical practice. So Michael comments, think we can get the legislators to vote together?
We're trying.
Good point.
Depends on what they're voting on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's good and sometimes it isn't.
Well... it's a great goal to have everybody on the same page, but it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
Hadn't in years.
No. And so Dr. Ettinger, again, has campaigned religiously most of his career to get everybody on the same page.
You mean have MDs come in and help with vets?
Yeah.
That, well, you know, that I have known that to happen. Yeah. I remember Dick Jan had a really nice horse that one of the breeders for charity out here named Hard Work. And
yeah.
this horse almost died. I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, and some MD came in and recommended a treatment that worked.
Yeah.
You know, so, of course, this goes back now. I mean, we're talking back in the 60s.
And well, you know, I had a professor named Jerry Ling, and he was a One Health kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go to the med center, to the human med center in Sacramento, to go to rounds. And, you know, we got noticed with by them, and they appreciated the input and had a lot of respect for. So the veterinarians were not low on the totem pole at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just assume that it is. But still, practitioners are practitioners, and they don't want to get their turf changed. But
well, I don't know. I'd hate to see some obstetrician come in and try to palp a mare.
Well,
don't be a dermatologist.
Yeah,
I can
whatever.
You're still going to have one that recognizes what a mare is.
Yeah, well, know which end to go to. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I rest my case.
There was a visitor, an MD, that came to University of California to rounds, and there was a mare that was having a dystocia, couldn't get the foal out. And he said, "This is unbelievable." He says, "How can you recognize the problem here?" And so the clinician said, "You know, people don't have a monopoly on these problems."
Yeah.
Ever. So we.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. We think.
I remember when I was young. Now this goes back a ways, but that's not that funny. Anyway, veterinarians were way, and vet schools are way ahead of medical schools in nutrition, because they had to get these cattle, horses, hogs, whatever, fat and healthy,
right,
for money.
Right.
And at that time, medical schools, just most of them didn't even have nutrition,
right,
things. So that was something that they could have, you
and,
know.
And so those are the new one medicine, one thing where now the nutritionists attend the rounds for the medical schools.
Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the world is getting smaller. It just, I don't know that that ever going to come together appropriately for benefit of all of the public and the animals. You know, it just... just the way it is.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Just to reinforce something that Jackie said, we had a guy come to the farm one day who was a chiropractor and a doctor, and he talked about in his practice that he started using a lot of the horse liniments and things that they were using on the horses long before they were ever approved.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he said they worked great. And we started talking and he was really an interesting guy. He was from California too. And I asked him what he did, and he said, "Well, he had a practice, and he treated mostly athletes." I said, "He said high school, college." I said, "Do you ever treat any professional athletes?" He said, "Yeah, well, I treat my son." I said, "Who's your son?" He goes, "Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers."
Yeah,
so that was interesting. So, Aaron Rodgers has been on horse medications for quite some time. Maybe they're not on the disapproved list. Maybe they're not on the NFL disapproved list, but.
Well, you reckon you pass the spit box?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. We've mentioned DMSO, and so that was approved for veterinary use, and those athletes and human patients would get it all the time.
God, that stuff's tough. I mean, you can spill that on yourself. You taste it, you know.
Yeah.
And
you would get non-healing sores. You know, if you put it on your shoulder, the skin would eventually slough.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't heal. So, you know, they had all kinds of precautions, but it was never approved for use. Well,
they say it damaged your liver or something like that they used to...
No. It's an interesting drug, and we don't have it now because... but, you know, it...
Who doesn't have it now?
Well, very few people use it. They don't even use it like they used to on the horses.
Really?
Oh, I got some. I'll give you.
Yeah, you want some? We got some.
Look at your sponsor. Look at Lubricin. I mean, you know, you get the human Lubricin. You get the horse Lubricin.
Yeah.
You
know?
That's good.
Yeah.
That stuff is good. Jackie uses it. Yeah.
See, all of those things, like the DMSO was all they had around in those days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now you've got 10, mm-hmm. 20 different choices you can make. And the DMSO would dry out the skin and do some other things. But it was an anti-inflammatory, very potent.
Stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to wear rubber gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and you can use it in some ways to deliver drugs because it crosses the skin and goes into the circulation.
Right.
So that was...
Yeah. Yeah, some of these things are tough to deal with. Not to change the subject, but that blue lotion they used to have daubers on it, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't touch that stuff without getting it all over you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about. I think it just jumped off the dauber at you or something, but it was...
Violet.
Gentian Violet.
Gentian Violet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And...
that was the setup.
All right, let me interrupt you here because I've got to do something for my friends over at Judmont. Princess of Silmar, Conqueror of Royal Delta, 2 times winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic in the Grade 1 Beldame Invitational, suffered her but one defeat in stakes this year. And that defeat came in the Grade 2 Gazelle at Aqueduct when she finished second, beating 3 1/4 lengths, to Close Hatches. Now, Close Hatches is a 3-year-old filly in the first crop by First Defense. Close Hatches has won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose since then, and the two rivals are, without question, the two best 3-year-old fillies in North America. The Sire Classic winner in your first crop is quite an accomplishment. First Defense is off to an impressive start at stud. First Defense is a Grade 1 Stakes winner by Top Sire Unbridled Song at a Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slew to the Superior Sire's Empire Maker and Chester House. The second dam is famed Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year Troussard. With such a background, it comes as no surprise that First Defense is off to a grand start at stud, and he is receiving strong support from Judmont Farm, where he stands, and also from outside breeders. For more information, contact Gerald O'Rourke and Fry, and see the website at judmontfarm.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Progeny of Windstar Stallions won both the opening day stakes at Keeneland yesterday. The Grade 1 $400,000 Darley Alcibiades and the Grade 3 Stole Keeneland and Ogden Phoenix. My Conquistador, a 2-year-old filly by Artie Schiller, bred by Paul Tackett, turned in an unbelievable performance in the Alcibiades. She was pinched back at the break, far behind through the first three quarters, in close quarters. I don't know how many times she was steadied going down that backside.
Four
times by actual count. But my Conquistador wove her way through traffic, the wind going away by nearly two lengths. Now, the Alcibiades was her second career start. Broke her maiden in the first start, beating colts in the Grade 2 Summer Stakes at Woodbine. And to win a Grade 1 Stakes in just her second start is a seldom, if ever, equaled accomplishment. A $240,000 graduate of the OBS March sales, she's earned over $355,000. Some of the parts are 4-year-old colt by Spritestown, the nation's leading sire, has won the Phoenix for two straight years, and he's now earned over $716,000. He was bred by Farfellow Farms. To compete at the highest level, look to the Windstar Stallions. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, a chance to him, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Michael, tell us a little bit about your shindig tomorrow night.
Oh, it's going to be great. We have a really nice party tomorrow night from 6 to 8 at the Holly Hill Inn to celebrate the great breeding traditions of the bluegrass, in particular Woodburn Farm. And we're inviting people that are potential sponsors and just people that want to have some fun to come over and Guido Michael, the chef over at Holly Hill Inn, has prepared a special menu, and there'll be some drinks, and we'll talk about the Woodburn tradition. And all this is in preparation. A year from now, we're going to have a huge party at Woodburn, thanks to Brereton and Libby Jones, who've going to let us have the party at Woodburn. And what is going to be next year is a huge celebration that we're doing in conjunction with the Racing Hall of Fame.
Now, that's going to be down at Airdrie?
It's going to be at Woodburn.
Well, right across the road.
Well, that's an important distinction. Well, not too many people get to get into Woodburn. You can stop by and see Barry anytime in his office.
Is that where Barry's raising all these runners?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But the mansion over there is really like the Monticello of horse racing. I mean, okay. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. And one of the great things is Guido Michael, in connection with Joel Fisher, the Midway historian, discovered the original menus and recipes from the first horse sale in Kentucky. And so next year Guido will be fixing that whole menu.
Wow.
And there'll be for everybody that attends, there'll be a representative of the National Racing Hall of Fame at every table.
Boy, that's pretty good.
So it's going to be really good. We tried to do it for this year, but we didn't want to rush into it, really, unlike some of these things I get attached to. We really wanted to do it right. So I think this will work out. So we're looking for sponsors. Zotus, the people that are now, that used to be Pfizer Animal Health, are going to be one of our sponsors. And I think it's going to be a great event. It'll be a lot of fun tomorrow night. So if you can make it, it's from 6 to 8. So come over after the races, have a drink. We'd like to talk to you. And have some fun. Holly Hill Inn in Midway, and of course, Weed is a magnificent chef, and
yeah,
food's guaranteed.
There,
and,
yeah,
they'll be able to serve alcohol. So those of you for which that's a requirement, myself included.
I was getting ready to ask.
Oh, one of the great things at Keeneland this year is they got all the Kentucky ale, and then they got a craft beer tent with Country Boy and West Six Brewery. The quality of the beer at Keeneland has just It's grade one. It's,
oh, wow.
Yeah, moved right up the list.
Well, that's great. It's good to know that the beer is good.
Yep. Yeah. So even like yesterday when I was losing money, I still saved enough for a couple of brewskis.
You need to save a beer for Stu Burns.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that, but Stuart is into a poetry kind of thing. And he remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I taped something that he'd done. From a guy named Patterson, who was a poet down in
I heard that.
Did you?
I heard.
Well, I'm going to play. I found
years
the tape.
Ago.
I've been looking for that damn tape for 4 or 5 years now. Finally, I opened up my tape recorder, and there it was.
Well,
I'm going to play it in the second hour, and I think maybe Stuart might be listening.
Well, and Stuart is one of those brilliant veterinarians I know.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, he's just a good guy, and he, of course, he's got his eye problems.
He's been threatening to steal my dog for about 10 years now. Finally, the dog died. He can come get him now. Every time he'd come in, we used Stuart for a long time. He's a good vet. And every time he'd come, he'd say, I'm going to United States. I'll steal that dog one of these days. We had a little, what was he, Jackie?
What? Schnauzer?
Yeah, it was a miniature schnauzer somebody tied to the mailbox many years ago, and he lived to be about 15, I think, something like that. Anyway, but
he's trying to sell you a horse, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's always trying to sell me one of those ponies he's got down
there.
Yeah. But you're right. But anyway, that it's Father Riley's Horse is the name of this thing, and written by the guy, A.G. Patterson, I believe it is, and they wrote Man from Snowy Mountain and those things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play that in the second hour.
That's great.
Looking forward to it. And another friend of yours just wandered in over here.
Mike Warren.
Mike Warren from out of Macaulay's. I want to talk to him a little bit about. I'm going to have to talk about him about the length of these commercials.
Not long enough. We decided what we're going to do now. I saw Mike yesterday at the track, and we were talking. I said, you know what they should do in the race room? They should have a little insignia of the food, that the feed that the horses are getting in the racing form. So you might be able to handicap by what they're eating.
Yeah, Wise Dan.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Speaking of Wise Dan. Steve Norman has changed the name of his band today to the Wise Dan Band.
Oh.
And he's performing tonight at Wallace Station.
Oh, is he?
Yes. And he wrote a song called Wise Dan, which he actually premiered at Dr. Byer's birthday party.
Oh.
Yeah. So he'll be playing that tonight at Wallace Station. So if you want to go over there and get some great food, listen to some great music, and they have great beer there, too.
That band is pretty good.
They are good.
Yeah, they're good. Very good.
Yeah, and he can play. Well, does he play a mandolin? Is that
yeah.
what he plays? Yeah. I don't know anything about
it. He plays with me. He's the only person I've ever seen play a mandolin as if it were a ukulele. But, you know, what do I know?
It works.
It sounds great.
Whatever.
And Steve's great, and everybody in his band's, you know, really terrific. So.
Yeah.
I meant to ask him if he could look at Silver Ray's feet while he was performing last weekend, but I think I had too many beers and forgot.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Steve is also a blacksmith.
One of the best. I think he's a blacksmith for Wise Dan.
Is he Wise Dan's blacksmith? Mm-hmm. No, that's why he's, well, that probably is. Yeah.
I think he is.
That's interesting. Don't blow a shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, the doctor's going to blow one here in a minute.
Yeah, we'll let Mike sit down. And we'll go ahead, and can I take your Sunday racing form, or do you need it? I didn't take the reading part.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I can?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
If you get permission, it's not stealing.
Yeah. He's taken it out here a couple of times without permission.
Yeah, I have. I was severely reprimanded a couple of times.
There's too many people right now.
He said it was accidental, but I know better.
I thought it was mine.
You thought it was his.
Just happened to hop into my hand.
He never came up with $7, though, I'll tell you that.
They're coming out with a new format starting tomorrow. Be interested to see how it looks. The racing form.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Are they really?
Yes.
I got to talk about the racing form.
No, it's going to be stitched, and I don't know. It's going to be stitched. It's going to be a little smaller, but it's going to have more information. But it's going to be easier to handle.
The
it's like a book, almost like a booklet format, I think.
Yeah. Well, the racing form is going to change after all these years. This edition, you know.
You know, when you get a certain age, change is like the worst word you can hear, right?
Yeah.
You know, let's come on, get with it. It's going to have more color, and it's going to have more features. And it'll be better.
I think it's terrific the way it is.
No, I like it the way it is too, because we're used to it. But it'll be interesting to see this new format. Now, next Saturday, we'll have something to talk about. Ursula will go, whoa, this is terrible.
What the hell is this? Yeah. All right.
Ursula, thanks a lot, buddy.
Wait a minute, I want you to help me with a couple of commercials here.
Right.
Let me start it out. Well, 80% of the starters from the first two crops by the hair have won. 20% have won a place in stakes. Now, DeHaar's biggest star to date is the multiple graded stakes winner, Gypsy Robin. Gypsy Robin has won the Grade 2 $250,000 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland, the Grade 2 $150,000 Beaumont Stakes at Keeneland, the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth, the $97,000 Laurel Stakes at Presque Isle, and this year's renewal of CERF Stakes, that's at Del Mar. And she was second in the Grade 1 test. That's at Saratoga, of course. Now, Gibson Robin is with out at Keeneland, and she's entered today in the Grade II Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes. And good luck to her. She's already accumulated over $558,000. Now, Bad Vada, a two-year-old filly by De Hare, won a maiden special at Calder on September 6th. And Mom Duha, another two-year-old filly by De Hare, was a promising second in her first start on September 28th in a maiden special at Mama. DeHaar is a Grade One Stakes winner by the elite sire, Awesome Again, and stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Now, Kevin Michael here so he could help me talk a little bit about our good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Leather. And
I was out there a few days ago.
Yeah, I know you were.
Picked up some keychains. Picked up a check from our friend Mr. Carroll at the Red State Barbecue.
Right.
I know. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Red State Barbecue, that's another good thing. But that was fabulous. It was very nice of David. But anyway, we're out there to pick up some keychains, and can't keep the keychains, the old friend's keychains, in the gift shop because of they look really, really nice. They're very classy, and they last forever.
Are they the
leather ones.
The leather ones, mm-hmm. You know? Oh,
with nameplates on them. Yeah. So they all say old friends, and they're on a piece of leather with a keyring, and it's very, very nice.
I wonder if you had some made up with some of the individual horses.
I think we should, yeah. We're working on that.
Did you hear that, Ralph?
We're working on it, Ralph. Get ready, buddy.
Ralph's been a big help, hasn't he?
Yeah, huge help. And great halters, great everything, and it's all emblematic of Ralph, really.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, and it's like he couldn't do anything second rate. You know?
Especially at that tack shop.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the nation's largest custom halter shop, probably the biggest in the world.
You sit in that parking lot, like I did the other day, waiting to answer the phone, and you can hear all the sewing machines going inside.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. It reminds me when I was a kid, you know, and every town had a guy who was the leather guy in town, the cobbler in town, and you'd always used to hear that noise, and I hadn't heard that noise in 40
years. Well, if you haven't
been
down there, it is a great tack shop, and it's a great gift shop,
mm-hmm.
and they carry just about everything you need in the horse business, and it's to tell you how to get there. It's in Paris, of course. If you're coming in from the Lexington area, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and there you are. What are we looking for over here?
Dr. Byers said a veterinarian died this past week. Dr. Byers, is this
Pryor.
Pete Pryor died?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I was talking to somebody down at the post office the other day. Was talking about had. I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Great guy.
Was he really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who did he practice with?
By himself.
By himself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know about... I really didn't know him. I'm trying to think who it was I was talking to.
He originally practiced with Craig Franks.
With Craig Franks?
With Craig
Franks. Lord, and Craig's been dead 30 years. Yeah. Yeah. Same disease, I think.
Similar.
Yeah.
Similar. Yeah.
All right. Well, sorry to hear that.
Yes.
All right. Well.
Okay.
The Daily Racing Form, you've got my Sunday edition over
yes,
there.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
It comes out, the breeding edition comes out every Sunday, in the Sunday edition, which is now on your newsstand. John Sparkman's writing about Discreet Cat this week. Nicole Russo's writing about Stone Street, the people over at Stone Street Farm at Keeneland Sales and what they bought out there. And that's quite an operation.
Well, that's a great operation. Barbara Bankey's a fabulous human being. I mean, did you see Steve Haskins' story about the kid and Rachel Alexander, the kid who takes care of Rachel Alexandra was a vet tech over at Rude and Riddle,
uh-huh.
And he was one of the only people that Rachel would tolerate and really got along with, and so he was with her all the time through her whole recovery, and Barbara credits him to a great deal for Rachel Alexander's full recovery.
Oh.
So when it came time to bring Rachel Alexander to Stone Street, she hired him.
Oh, okay.
And so now he's in charge of layups, and he's in charge of Rachel, which is really cool. And then he probably doesn't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Barbara was so grateful to him that he and his wife round trip airfare to Italy to stay at their estate in Italy for a week
Oh, wow.
As a vacation.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, really neat.
Yeah, well, let's see. The hot sire of the week is Tis Wonderful from over here at Spendthrift Farm. Patrick Reed's writing about Tis Wonderful, a son of course, Tis Now. And Steve Anderson's writing about the promising young sires at the Keeneland Sale. And, of course, they've got all the stakes reports, the graded stakes from over the weekend. Daily Racing Form Sunday edition, breeding edition, and it's on your newsstands as we speak. And I remembered who I was talking to about Dr. Pryor, and it was Pat Copeland.
Oh, yeah,
Bob
sure.
Copeland's lovely bride of a couple of years. Nice people, too. You know, that's who I was talking about. Down in the post office. You know, hang around.
Love the post office. The Midway post office is one of my favorite places on the planet.
Well, you can't go into Paris post office without running into somebody you know. Sometimes you can't get out of there. I kept Jackie waiting there last week for I don't know how long. Out in the truck.
They hate to see me coming because I always have a lot of stuff we have to ship, so all the people start rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
And they start running in there quick to get in line ahead of me so that you don't have to wait.
Yeah, Midway post office is pretty interesting. I can make 5 farm calls by just picking up my bills.
that was Mike Warren talking. Now I want to talk to Mike here in just a second. And let me catch up on my commercial. What do you want here?
Get his loser of the week.
Loser of the week?
Yeah, it's the loser of the week's in tomorrow.
Okay, who's the loser of the week?
It's a wonderful horse named Dinah Green. It's 12-1 on the morning line with James Graham in the saddle. And breaks from the inside, going a mile and a 16th. Maiden special weight. Ran a nice buyer last time. Likes to run on the artificial and likes to close. So Dinah Green's 12-1. I don't think he can win, which is we don't want him to win because if he wins, it'll screw up the loser of the week deal. But we want him to finish second, third, or fourth for the 10-cent supers.
Okay.
Dinah Green.
All right. Dinah Green tomorrow, Keeneland.
Yeah. You heard it first, and if it doesn't work out, don't call me.
All righty, well. All right. Well, Sunday at Belmont, the historic Grade II $200,000 futurity was won by In Trouble, a 2-year-old colt by Tis Wonderful, bred by Joseph Duffel, sold for $120,000 at the OBS April sale. In Trouble is undefeated. Won his debut on August 10 at Saratoga, sprinted 6 furlongs of 109-3 to take the futurity by a widening 2.25 lengths. In Trouble is one of 12 2-year-old winners from the second crop, but Tis Wonderful. The sire of a graded 2-year-old stakes winner in both crops now, both crops of racing age. In 2012, My Happy Face won the Grade 3 Tempted in New York and was a photo second in the Grade 1 Frisette. She has won the Lotka Stakes at Belmont, placed in the Grade 1 CCA Oaks, the Grade 1 Test, and the Grade 2 Forward Gal this year. She's earned over $500,000. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner as a 2-year-old, is considered to be the most precocious son of Hall of Famer Tis Now, and is well on his way to becoming his best son at stud. Tis Wonderful is at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, and Mark Toothacker. See the website, spendthriftfarm.com. And want to talk about my friends over at Reborn, and Wise Dan runs on Reborn, incidentally. So there's some pretty good trainers using that. Because he's Horse of the Year and goes today in the Shadwell, Grade 1 out of Keeneland. Reborn is a whole bovine colostrum. You should start using it with your foals as an addition when they're foals. Because we're always running out of colostrum around here. Isn't that right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's a great supplement, and of course, it builds up the immune system. The horses of all ages, as far as that goes, and provides a quicker recovery. And it's a very, very, very good product invented by Dr. Steve Alday, who also invented Lubricin. And Lubricin is a product that sustains the integrity of joint fluid. And it's good for people, and they make it for people and for horses. My wife takes it, and I think I'm probably too old for it, but I don't know what would help me. Anyway, she swears by it. She takes it every morning, and you can buy it over at Old Friends or KBC in Lexington, the Horse Sense down in Versailles. And a lot of the top trainers use it, Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow, Mike Maker, Jerry Hollendorfer, and they're test-free. You don't have to worry about either one of those products when you go into the spit box. So that's two great products right there invented by Steve all day. Well, September 29 at Santa Anita, Miss Personality, a 2-year filly by Broken Vow, won a maiden special, first start, won by 4 1/4 lengths, bred by Sergio D'Souza and Karen Walsdorf. She gives every indication she's a filly with a bright future. And of course, Broken Vow is already sired among his 57 stakes winners, a number of top flight fillies. Most recent stakes winner is Lady Cohiba, winner last month of the $150,000 Glens Falls at Saratoga. And she's won stakes in New York for at 2, 3, and 4. Remember Unbridled Bell, a grade one winner of over $2 million, or grade one winner Sassy Image. She earned over $828,000. Or grade one winner Cotton Blossom, she's earned right at $725,000. All daughters of Broken Vow. Broken Vow is the leading son of Sire Sire's Unbridled Stud in North America. He's at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Cowboy Cal, young multiple graded stakes winner Millionaire by Giants Causeway, and a venerable Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic. Sire of 59 stakes winners. Inquiries of Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 873-1420. See the website at pinoakstud.com. All right. I asked Mike Warren to stop by here because I tell you, these commercials of yours, Mike, how long y'all been sponsoring this show now?
Oh, Lord.
5 or 6 years?
5 or 6 years, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, time flies when you're having a good time.
Well, I'm having a good time.
There you go.
But I tell you what, Barry Seldon, you like to feature stakes winners that use Macaulay products and plug the breeders and every week. That's what we do for commercials.
We talk every week.
And I don't know. I think maybe we'll miss one day in early February this year.
I think that's correct. We've been very fortunate. One of the reasons why we kind of highlight the breeders, they really take the most risk and get the least reward. I mean, you know, when you go on TV, you see the trainers and the owners, which is fine. But the poor old boy back on the farm, he deserves a pat on the back and some appreciation too.
Yeah, I know. You put up the when you look at TVG or especially the other station, what is it, Horse Radio?
TVG and HRTV.
HRTV is pretty good about putting up the pedigree,
right,
and the owner and the trainer and the jockey, right, but never the breeder.
Never the breeder.
Yeah.
The poor old boy of the farm. He never gets a fair shake.
But I should have kept track of the grade one stakes winners that you all have had this year. I don't know how many it's been, but it was 3 last Saturday.
3 last Saturday, correct. Yeah. A couple of nice 2-year-olds. And so.
Yeah, one in Europe.
One in Europe.
Yeah.
So, once again, you know, we are pretty excited about our clientele and the years of having. So. Well,
okay. Let me just tell you who some of them were. Ashford Stud raised Jeffrey Chauncey, won the Group 1 Judmont Beresford Stakes abroad. Secret Compress won the Grade 1 Chandelier, Liberation Farm, and Brandywine Farm, and of course raised at Brandywine. That's Jim and Pam.
That's correct.
Over there. And I don't know how many stakes winners. They about keep you going in stakes winners.
They raise racehorses.
They sure as hell do. And a whole lot of them.
That's correct.
Doing something right over there.
Absolutely.
Nice people, too.
Good folks.
That's the Grade 1 Front Runner. Now, this one was foaled in Virginia, but you all have
out of the Chambersburg, Lazy Lane. Yeah, Lazy Lane is a client out of the Chambersburg clan.
Yeah.
So
that's a Pennsylvania-based client, but they're up in Lazy Lane.
The original 14, you know, right there, too.
All right, the Grade 2 Kelso went to Grade R. That's Will Farish.
Right, we had him that year. So.
Yeah, okay. Chips All In, Adina Springs.
Yep. And
won the Grade 3 80D out in California.
And you throw Game On Dude in there, so they're having a pretty good year, too.
Yeah. I don't know how much the money. That horse went over $5 million now.
Oh, it's
close to $6 maybe.
It's amazing, and it's setting up really well for him at the Breeders' Cup Classic.
All right, General Election, the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup, Meg and Mike Buckley.
Correct.
Down here at Three Main.
All right. Yeah. Good, hardworking, family-owned, family-run farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the kind of things you really take a lot of pride in. Those guys, they work hard, and they produce good racehorses.
Yeah, bumped into Meg just the other day down at Quillen Tack.
There you go.
In there.
You know, Eric is sort of taking the lead there a little bit with his mom at But, you know, once again, good, hardworking, family-run farm.
Yeah. Eric, I didn't know Eric had gotten married, but he's going to be a daddy.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard that.
He's going to be a daddy.
Well, good. He already is.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not 100% sure.
Not yet? Oh, okay.
Meg was out buying gifts for the baby, and it isn't even here yet.
Oh, funny.
Well, that's what grandmothers do.
I guess that's right.
That's her job.
That's exactly right.
All right, and let's see. Jose Seaview, who's 2-for-2 now, won the Fitz Dean Jr. Memorial, and, of course, Barry Jones.
Can you say about that? You know, I will make a comment about the Woodburn. Mrs. Jones has done a fabulous job in refurbishing that place. It's really an outstanding, beautiful setting. Interiors are really, really nice. So, and I talked to Governor. It's probably been 6 months ago, or probably longer, about getting Lexington back here from the Smithsonian at the horse park, you know, and that was the foundation sire for Woodburn.
Yeah.
And they've really put a good display there at the museum, and people need to go by and see him and read the history of Woodburn and, you know, where the thoroughbred racing got started. So
now, is Burry utilizing that land over there?
Yes, he is. You mentioned earlier about all the stakes horses. He refers to it as the magic fields of Woodburn.
Okay.
So
I thought that was
it. Nice horses, you know, Proud Spell and those things have come off that Woodburn, which, you know, stands to reason.
A whole long list of them come off there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a book of articles from Harper's Magazines from the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Woodburn's in there with a drawing. And the original house, I wonder if they built around it, because it was like a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was stretched out in the back, you know, because this was, you know, 18-aughts, something or other.
Right.
Stretched out in the back like a long T. And I wonder if that's still there or they built the house over the top of it.
A good question. I'm sure Mrs. Jones has the answer.
Yeah, because it was very interesting. It was really, really old drawing of the place.
Mm-hmm. The music room is really something to see. And if you pull up, that's the room to the left with all the high.
Does anybody reside there now?
Not to my knowledge, but, you know, they live on the Glen Artney part of the farm.
Yeah. That's a beautiful home they live in, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect setting.
Yeah.
Perfect setting. So
I've known Brer for years. You know, Brer's been a sponsor of various shows here since back in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I worked for him for a period of time, and I tell you, I got to do, at the time it didn't seem so exciting, but, you know, I got to do a lot of things out there. I lived on the farm, teased, worked in the stallion barn, worked in the foaling barn when there was a dystocia or some sort of, you know, when Mr. Shear at that time was the foaling man, needed help. Back when I was young, it was a lot of hours and a lot of things, but I really got to learn a lot of things at Airdrie. So I hold the governor, Mrs. Jones, in very high regard. So.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wine Police was bred by John and Martha Mulholland.
Correct.
And he won the Remington Park Sprint. There was, a $200,000 pot there.
Good pot.
Yeah, good pot. Daddy Knows Best. Was raised by Bill Betts for Patricia Elia. We almost forgot a little horse named Fort Larned.
Fort Larned.
Won the Breeders' Cup last year.
Let's see, you put how much money Fort Larned, Wise Dan, and Game On Dude? I bet they're closing $17 million,
23? I would think so.
I would think.
Right there.
Not a bad.
No.
You know.
We'll probably be doing a commercial next week on Wise Dan.
Well, let's hope so. Charlie does a great job. Charlie does a great job managing it. Folks.
I never met him until I went over to Doc's party, and Charlie was there.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lyer's birthday party, and Charlie was there. Nice guy. He got his farms down at
Athens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know where they all are, don't you?
Well, most of them. You know, anything that happens as far as deliveries or anything like that comes across my desk. So, you know, the drivers. And our drivers do a tremendous job, and the vast majority of them have horse farm experience. So they understand what their job is and the etiquette they need to do when they go to the farms.
Yeah. So, I've been coming down to pick up my feed because We've got to trim our trees, you know, that big truck of yours.
Right. Even the small truck, we have four large trucks and one small truck. Even the small truck has a few issues at your place.
So. Well, we rough it down there.
Well, that's okay.
Well, anyway, that's 10 stakes winners, 6 graded stakes winners, 3 grade 1 in 1 week.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know,
you're John McCauley probably.
And
now, I haven't even done your commercial yet.
Well, I was getting ready to say you wrote it. You know, the thing that you and I talk about every week that's somewhat of a challenge is I'm sure that say Ursel Ellis bred a stakes winner, but he is boarded at my farm, and we won't know.
Yeah, you missed.
There's we do the best we can to recognize who we can. But it's a challenge, but it's a good challenge to have. And I like it when you call the farms and harass the people on the farms for information.
Yeah, so. I'm out forever calling different places, Trackside Farm down there.
Yeah, and Tom does a great job. Tom does a really good
Ashford
job.
Ashford Studge, you know, because they raise so many runners down there for other people that run under different
right.
names.
Yeah, different partnerships and stuff. And they're having a tremendous year. Here, you know, you hear all about the European stuff, but they're actually doing pretty well here.
Yeah.
So, and that's exciting. So.
Yeah, they're nice people down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And at the end of the trail, you've got longevity. That stuff is great.
Yeah.
Horses, it breaks up in their mouth. Yeah. They don't even have to have teeth. They can gum it, and they stay healthy.
Well, it's a different process that we do. We don't grind it to a fine powder. We chop it and, you know, cook it 180 degrees for 20 seconds, and away you go. I'm, you know, bust the pelt. You know, what I do is just drop a pelt in a cup of water and,
there you are.
Let it speak for itself.
We had that old Secretariat horse down there for, you know, he was 28 years old.
Yeah, he finally went on to that great racetrack in the sky.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah.
And he got down behind and got where he would get down and couldn't get up, you know.
Yeah. And then he finally couldn't.
Yeah, he just couldn't get up at all.
I mean,
it happens.
It happens. You want to do the right thing.
We kind of miss him.
I tell you what, though, he died with his belly full of longevity.
There you go. there you go. Well, I mean, we know it's a business, but still, you get emotionally attached, and you have your favorites, and you want to do the right thing by the horse, and everything else will take care of itself.
Now, you all give a lot of services, free services to your clients, do you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Depending on what the level of participation the management wants on a particular farm, you know, we offer hay testing, the weighing program, you know, the 800 number. We all answer nutritional questions or you know, availability questions all over the country. You know, I was on the phone this morning with an Amishman from northern Indiana. So,
is that right?
Yeah, and it's all about, you know, once again, if you take care of the horse, everything else will take care of itself. But, you know, the three things we try to focus on are, as far as the services, the one thing is stocking rate, obviously, how many acres per head that you have. But then amazingly, you know, hay analysis to hopefully, you know, put the proper feed with the proper forages. You know, feed forages first and then the feed after that. We're probably the only feed company to tell you to feed less feed and more grass and better hay. So, so all those things come with that bag of feed. I mean, it's Amy Parker does the vast majority of the weighing, and she's one of our nutritionalists.
What kind of a scale is y'all use?
It's just a big old heavy duty thing that fits in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
And then, you know, have a data readout, you know, little computer readout system on it, and we go ahead and plug it in and chart the horse. And every month you send out a growth chart.
How long y'all been doing that, Steve?
Oh, long time. Long time. Let's see. We started. I'll be there 10 years in February. Even though my dad was the first product plant manager, so I've known the McCauleys for over 40 years. But it was well on its way before I got there. So that's a good question. I need to find out exactly what year Dr. Lou started that.
Yeah, they was founded way back in how long ago now? I know
1938.
If I'm not mistaken, the products that you're all putting out now, Lee Eaton had something to do
with it. Sure. Yeah, we have a product called EKGs, and that's Lee Eaton, Dr. Kidder, and Dr. Griggs.
Yeah, Johnny Griggs.
Yes,
yeah.
And I know talking to Chuck, you know, he's still the vast majority of the people who start on that program are still on that program. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Kidder's had, you know, over the last few years, have had a tremendous success.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's sort of.
I just attributed him being pretty close neighbor of ours.
Well, I think there must be something in the soil. There you go. But he and Nancy have had really, really good success over the years. And it's kind of funny when you talk to him. He says, "What's good about my farm is bad about my farm." And I said, "That don't make much sense." He goes, "Well, you know, we run a few head on our piece of property, so we feed year round." And lo and behold, I mean, he's had tremendous success. The EKGs and the alums, the alum, it was kind of funny. We were at a dealer, and the manager of the dealership asked Dr. Lou, says, "Are you working on anything new? Something like a low glycemic feed?" And I did. I had to laugh. And I said, "Yeah, since 1990. You know, alum's been, which is a very low glycemic feed with all the cutting edge technology. And Dr. Lou had researched it 2 years and was on the market in 1990. So, I think we're pretty good. And this, the EKG is also a no corn, no molasses feed.
Uh-huh.
It's over 80% oats. And Dr. Kidder will be the first one to tell you, says, "I want to feed oats."
Yeah.
And so this is the way we do it. And he's able to feed it outside and no waste.
Well, I'm a believer. You made me a believer, although you've been using it for a number of years now.
Right.
And not running anything anymore, but all we've got down there is old retirees like us.
Well, you know, pelleted feed got such a bad rap for so many years because everybody thought you're hiding things, inferior grains, ingredients, and all this stuff. Just chop it up.
Like chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, exactly. Yeah. And you know, if you look at our place, we don't have that many bins. We don't have a grinding bin. We don't have a show oat. You know, it all comes on a railroad car from Western Canada. We make it into a pellet or make it into a textured feed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're fortunate. We're so old that it's a benefit. Yeah. Being on that railroad spur helps bring in those Western Canadian oats.
Yeah.
Really, and most of the corn comes out of Central Indiana, which is a fabulous place. Buying it from the same place for, you know, over 20 years. So,
yeah.
So it's it starts with the ingredient. You know, Dr. Lou's probably is the the only nutritionist I know of that sits in there has retained samples of the grains coming in and the product going out. So, those are all, you know, some of the services.
It must be a great product because the results speak for themselves.
Well, we appreciate
not only that, but at the sales.
At the sales, you know, we just had the sales topper at the standard bread sale.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
So, I mean,
I went over yesterday to pick up a catalog and crowd out there and said, "What the hell's going on in here?"
Oh,
the lady at the desk said, "Oh, we're having a standard bread sale." I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna get out of here. I don't know anything about that."
Oh, it's a different world. But the horse is a horse, you know. And
yeah,
the standard bread folks have been very good to us.
Yeah,
and amazingly, like I said earlier, I'm on the phone with a Amishman from Northern Indiana. They've taken to it.
Yeah,
because of the waste factor.
Yeah, the Amish have.
Amish have. And these are a little
bit. They don't waste anything.
No, they don't waste it. And they're a little bit different. You know, I went and had a meet and greet in Indiana a couple weeks ago, and they're sitting there on their iPhone watching races from Hoosier.
Times have changed.
It ain't your granddaddy's Amish.
Yeah, this new generation's different than when I started fox hunting with Woodford. It was a certain generation. We'd hunt in their territory was in the territory was in their country, and they had one look. The horses and the women were skinny, you know, and they all wore the hook and eye stuff that they made themselves. It's changed.
It has changed.
Yeah, they've come out in the world a little bit.
Yeah,
horses are still kind of skinny, but
talking to Mike Warren here, in case Pope McLean's, he was fussing at me yesterday. Said it took me forever for you to figure out who you were talking to in that interview last week with Paul Tackett.
Oh, right. That was a great, you know, that was a great interview. I didn't realize what all Mr. Tackett has accomplished. And it was a very, very impressive man.
If he hadn't done anything else, breeding this filly, pretty enough.
That was a remarkable run yesterday.
Yeah,
I thought she was down the rail and beat.
I did too.
Yeah.
I didn't think she was able to.
I was saying bad words about that jockey. I thought he took that filly back.
No, he was pinchback.
He was pinchback.
Yeah.
So, but she sure sold a lot of class. And like you said, second time out, went a grade one after beating the boys in the grade stakes.
And a tough race like that.
Yeah.
We counted every time they replayed it. We counted how many times he checked her. It was four times before he got
down
somewhere.
The back before they got to the half mile pole.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, so.
I want to ask you one more thing and I'll let you go.
All right.
You got a horse in training still?
Got a filly with Wayne Mogi.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I just got a small part of her.
Oh, the small.
That's a good part.
Yeah. It's a partnership that Wayne's been nice enough to allow us to, Kevin Gregory and his son Philip Gregory, we buy the horse. And trust me, when I say buy, that we bought this filly for $1,700.
Okay.
and you know.
My kind of horse.
Yeah. And Wayne's nice enough to train him and no bills. And he gets half the purse.
Wow.
Wow.
And we couldn't do it without him.
Wow.
And so we're very fortunate in that.
He won a race last night.
Did it good.
Down in Mountaineer.
Good.
Wayne's a good guy. Comes from a good family.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Northern Kentucky. That's good.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for stopping by. I know you're busy and everything.
Oh, I'm on the other side of the pitchfork now, Ursula. I got the day's mine now. So
is it? Okay.
Yeah. Going out to Keeneland again?
Oh, yeah. I'll go out to Keeneland.
Right. We'll let you
go. A little birthday party.
Throw 20 on the ground for me. And
yeah.
I do that without, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You don't need any.
Yeah, I don't need
Mike, thanks.
All right, Ursula.
Good to see you, my friend.
We'll be talking this week again.
Sure. Every week we can get together and he straightens me out.
There you go.
Did you all raise it? Is this one Macaulay horse? Yeah, that's one of them.
Great.
All right. You guys have a great day.
You all too. Right. Thanks.
Well, Majestic Warrior is the nation's number one ranked second crop sire. He is the sire of Princess of Silmar, the best distaffer in training in North America. On September 28 at Belmont, Princess of Silmar easily defeated Royal Delta, two times winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic, and until she met Princess of Silmar, favored to win her third. Yeah, beat her in the Grade 1 Beldame Invitational. Princess of Silmar has also won the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks, the Busher Stakes, the Bassanda Stakes, and over $1,600,000. In the opinion of most, she never starts again. She's earned an Eclipse Award. Majestic Warrior is the sire of 6 stakes winners, 14 stakes horses in his first 2 crops. 7 of the 14 have won a place in graded stakes. Winner of the Grade 1 Hopeful, as a 2-year-old, of course, sired by champion Sir A.P. Andy, and out of the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in Millionaire Dream Supreme by Seeking the Gold. Majestic Warrior is at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more information about the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way, the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
Well, September 26th at Presque Isle, the $100,000 Fitz-Dixon Memorial Juvenile was won by Jose Seaview, a 2-year-old colt by Badge of Silver, bred and owned by Brandon C. Jones and trained by Reed Baker, undefeated. Jose Seaview won his first start on August 11 in a maiden special at Woodbine, shipped in to take the fixed distance memorial. He's just the most recent in a growing list of stakes horses by Badge of Silver. Just days earlier, Badge of Silver sired the 1-3 finishers in Saratoga's Grade 2 Bernard Baruch when Silver Max won that one. Silver Max has also won the Grade 3 Oceanport at Monmouth, Churchill's opening verse this year for earnings of over $1,208,000, and he's entered today in the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile. Then there are 2013 stakes winners Lulu Wong and Badge of Glory, plus Fly Lexus Fly, champion in South America, and placed in the Grade 1 Eddie Reed in the USA this year. Doug's Brady, stakes placed this year, winner of 4 stakes and graded place earlier in his career. There's always another Badge of Silver. On the same card with Jose Seaview was She's Popular, 3-year-old filly by Badge of Silver, also bred by Brandon C. Jones, and she was an easy winner of a $70,300 allowance race. Badge of Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brandon C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, well, we're starting the second hour now, about 15 minutes late, but we're starting it. And I have Steve Moody here with me today. And Steve is with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. He's the author of that. It's published by Briss. And five stakes, graded stakes out at Keeneland today. We're going to talk about the three grade ones. And Steve, start with the one you want to, and let's have at it.
All right, Ursa. Well, we'll just go in chronological order. The first grade one's the seventh. That's a one-mile turf race for fillies and mares. It's the first lady stakes. And a field of eight in there. No scratches, at least as of right now. You know, I thought it was a pretty well-matched group, Ursa, but I wasn't, I couldn't really get inspired by the, you know, the horses that had been over here running. I thought the runners coming in from overseas bared looking at real good here. The one horse in here, Say, trained by Aiden O'Brien, is a real well-bred filly by Galileo. Ran in a group one at Leopardstown. Only got beat a half a length in there. Prior to that, second behind Dank in the group two, Killboy Estate. That was against Colts. Dank was also a filly, or mare in there. And of course, she came over here and won the, Beverly D, a couple months ago. So I think, you know, this filly has been hooking some quality competition in Europe, and coming over here, you know, I kind of like those European shippers. First time in America, they usually run pretty well, and she's a nice price in here at 10-1. So I'm going to give her the edge in here over the two horse Hungry Island. This one, of course, goes for Shug McGahee. She ran third in this race last year, and she looks like she's kind of on the improve right now, and I think you got to give her a big chance. And then the three horse Better Lucky, she's going to be running late under Julian Leperoux, and I think she's worth looking here too, but went for a little bit of a price. I'm going to take the European Invader number one, Say. So we'll go 1-2-3 in the first lady stakes.
1-2, okay.
The eighth race is the Breeders' Futurity. Of course, we had the Alcibiades yesterday, and a real impressive two-year-old filly in there.
Boy.
Came from next to last and through traffic and never, you know, just a tremendous run, I thought. Anyway, field of 16, we've got four scratches. The one, Intense Holiday, the three, School on a Hill, and then the 15 and 16, Metal Count and Oogly Eye. You know, still a tough race with 12 horses in here, but I'm going to come right back with the same connections as yesterday. Mark Cassie and Eurico da Silva with Conquest Titan. This horse made his first start in a key race there at Churchill, a race there behind Brazen Persuasion. Brazen Persuasion came right back out of that race and won a stake at Saratoga. This horse went on up to Woodbine and won the Swinford Stakes, won that race pretty handily. Has worked well since. Mark Cassie does really well on the runners that are going from sprint to route, and also the ones changing surfaces. So, of course, that's not the case here, but I think that this one's, I don't think it'll have any problem stretching out to to two turns, and 6-1 on the morning line, pretty square price. I'm going to give him the slight edge. My second choice in here was the one, of course, Intense Holiday, but ended up scratching. So that'll give me the two horse in here, Kendall's Boy, another sprinter that's stretching out. Comes off of a very easy win. Was second to a really nice horse, first time out at Saratoga, and then came back and was an easy winner at Churchill last time out for Tom Amos. Another one that I don't think we'll have a problem with the added ground in here. So I'm going to go with the again the same connections as yesterday. Conquest Titan over Kendall's Boy, 9-2 in the Breeders' Futurity.
Okay.
And then the last of the grade ones is the ninth. That's the Shadwell Turf Mile. Of course, the Field of Ten, and the horse on the outside is the defending champ and the reigning horse of the year, Wise Dan. Has won nine straight races, and you know what can you say about him? He's just he's just kind of like a machine. That you know, Charlie Lopresti's just done a phenomenal job, and this horse has been really about as much on top of his game for now over 2 years. And only a rough trip into Stephen Foster has kept him from winning. I'm not sure how many in a row if he'd have gotten up in that race. But as it is, he's won nine in a row, all on turf. Of course, he loves the King on turf course. I think he's going to be laying in a good spot behind Silver Max and probably Coldport and Sky Ring, possibly on the inside. I think he'd just kind of be laying in there behind him, and when Johnny Velasquez calls on him, you know, he'll come running like he always does. He's obviously not going to be any price again. He's 2-5 morning line, but just awfully, awfully difficult to pick against him the way he's been going. Silver Max looks like the speed of the race. You know, go to the front and catch me if you can. I think he'll try to take him as far as he can, but I don't believe he's going to be able to hold off the champ at the end. And then Wilcox in came back after a layoff with a big effort, and I think he's a horse that could get pardoned here at a price, 15-1 on the morning line. So 10-9-6 in the Shadwell Mile.
All righty. I didn't think you were going to pick something trying to beat Wise Dan. all right, Steve. Listen, thank you so much. And,
all right, Ursula.
We'll appreciate it, and you have a great day.
All right, you too.
All righty. Well, the first foals by Stroll to reach the races since he came back from Europe. They're two-year-olds. He's compiling a remarkable record. Through the September 28th, 18 of his two-year-olds had started, 10 had won. All 10 won maiden specials. He's got a stakes winner and three others that have placed in stakes. Now, Skylander Girl has won a pair of stakes at Woodbine, the $150,000 My Dear, the $125,000 Ontario Debutante. Manaus won a maiden special at Kentucky Downs, was placed in stakes at the Tyro at Monmouth and the Chenery Stakes at Colonial Downs. Tuscan Getaway won a maiden special at Delaware. He's placed in the $150,000 Colon Stakes and the $125,000 Swinford at Woodbine. And Dig a Little Deeper was also in the Swinford, and he ran second. Now, Stroll's most recent winner is Kit Kat Man. September 28th, he won a maiden special at Arlington by four lengths. Stroll's also the sire of Celticus, 2013 stakes winner as a three-year-old in Europe. He sired six stakes winners, including a champion two-year-old filly in Canada and a graded stakes winner at Keeneland. Sired them before he left for Europe. Now, a grade one stakes winner of Nearly 800,000 in a Sunday pulpit. Strolls at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. If you're thinking about buying a farm or you're thinking about selling a farm, let me recommend Hill and Reagan Parker. Real horse people. They, in the horse business, of course, Hill is an experienced horseman, and they've been in real estate for 12 years, so they're experienced real estate agents, too. Best thing about them is they're a team, they work real hard for you, and they're people that you can trust. They're just, you know, the words are bond, and you can just absolutely trust Hill and Reagan. Let me give you the website, because it's a great website, LexHorseFarms.com, LexHorseFarms.com. They've got listings all over. Got a couple of places right out close to us in Bourbon County, farms in Jesmond and Woodford and Scott and Clark, and that's just mentioning a few of the counties around here. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices, and they can help you find that they're just the perfect farm that you're looking for. And they're nice people to do business with. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. And let me give you the phone number. It's a Lexington number. Of course, that's an 859 area code, 608-8039. And couldn't recommend anybody any higher than them, any better than them. That's LexHorseFarms.com. Go to that website. They've got a great website there. All right, let's see where I am here. Okay, Princess Cecile Mar, conqueror of Royal Delta, two times winner of the Grade One Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic in the Grade. Nah, that's not the right one, is it? I'm supposed to be doing a Crestwood, is it? Not this. How did I do that right now? I've got it here somewhere, Chadwell Farm. Well, we'll have to come back and dig it out because I can't find it. Pope will let you off the hook. Okay, and I was doing one on a horse that I really liked over there. It's here somewhere. I'll find it. Okay, well, let's just head on back in. I think it's time to do that. Here we go. Thank you, my man. Rest of here straightened me out. Sorry about that, Pope. Well, last Sunday in Indiana Downs, the seventh race, a maiden special for two-year-olds was won by Sheltowee's Boy. It's a two-year-old colt. He is by No Biz Like Showbiz. Now, Sheltowee's Boy was making his career debut, and he won in impressive fashion. He won by 6.5 length. Now, the next day, stunt double, another two-year-old by No Biz Like Showbiz, shipped in to Mountaineer to break his maiden. And listen to this. You talk about winning impressively. He broke his maiden by 19.5 lengths, pulling a secretariat on us. Now, both of those are from the second crop by No Biz Like Showbiz, both those two-year-olds. First crop is tied 24 winners, three stakes horses, including Let Me Entertain You, winner of the Brew Stakes at Aqueduct, placing the Prince of Silmar, two Princes of Silmar in the Busher Stakes. Of course, that's also in New York. Other first crop winners are scored at Pimlico, Two at Arlington, Two at Hawthorne, they like Chicago, Tampa Bay, Lone Star, Indiana Downs, Turfway, Delaware, Colonial Downs, Parks. So the No Biz Like Showbiz are winning wherever they're asked to run. Of course, he was a Grade One stakes winner, over $1,444,000. In fact, after he broke his maiden in his first start for 10 lengths at Belmont, he competed in 12 consecutive graded stakes, winning six of them. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Now, that's a full-service, family-operated facility that's noted for quality customer relations. Inquiries to Pope McLean at 859-252-3770. If you're breeding a race, you might take a look at No Biz Like Showbiz Records. Take a good look at that. And see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. I've been saying I was going to do this, and I'm going to do it. A good friend of mine, Dr. Stuart Burns, veterinarian down in Bourbon County, had him over one night, he and his lovely bride, for supper. And he recited, and he didn't read this. He just recited from memory. I don't know how he did it. I can't even remember my Social Security number. But it was... Father Riley's Horse is the name of this. It's written by A.B. Patterson. He's an Australian, very famous. For instance, he wrote The Man from Snowy River, a whole lot of other things, Rio Grande's Last Race, a lot of things that he wrote. And so I had dragged out my little cheap little old recorder, and the quality of this may not be very good, but the narrator is perfect. And this is Dr. Stuart Burns with Father Riley's Horse.
'Twas the horse thief, Andy Reagan, that was hunted like a dog by the troopers from the Upper Murray side. They had searched in every gully and looked in every log, but nary a sight or track of him they spied. Till the priest at Kiley's Crossing heard a knocking very late, and a whispered, "Father Riley, come across." So his reverence in pajamas trotted softly to the gate and admitted Andy Reagan and a horse. "Now it's listen to me, Father, to the words I've got to say, for it's close upon my death I am tonight. With the troopers hard behind me, I've been hiding several days in the gullies, keeping close and out of sight. But they're watching all the ranges till there's not a bird can fly, and I'm fairly worn to pieces with the strife. So I'm taking no more trouble, and I'm going home to die. 'Tis the only way I see to save my life. Yes, I'm going home to Mother's, and I'll die Tuesday next, and be buried on the Thursday. And of course, I'm prepared to do my penance, but with one thing I'm perplexed, and it's, Father, it's this jewel of a horse. He was never bought nor paid for, and there's not a man can swear to his owner or his breeder, but I know. He was sired by Pendantic from the old Pretender mare, and his dam is close related to the roe. And there's nothing in the district that can race him for a step. He can canter while they're going at their top. He's the king of all the leakers that was ever seen to leap. A 5-foot fence, he'll clear it in a hop. So I'll leave him with you, Father, till the dead shall rise again. 'Tis yourself that knows a good one. And of course, you can say he's got by moonlight out of Patty Murphy's plain, if you're ever asked the breeding of the horse. But it's getting on to daylight, and it's time to say goodbye, for the stars above the east are growing pale, and I'm going home to Mother, and it's hard for me to die, but it's harder still is keeping out of jail. You can ride the old horse over to my grave across the dip, where the wattle blooms are raising overhead. Sure, he'll jump them fences easy, but you must never raise the whip, or he'll rush them. Now goodbye." And he had fled. Well, they buried Andy Reagan, and they buried him to rights in the graveyard at the back of Kiley's Hill. There were 25 mortars and 25 fights, till the very boldest fighters had their fill. There were 50 horses racing from the graveyard to the pub, and the riders flogged each other all the while. All the lashings of the liquor and the lavins of the grub, poor Andy went to rest in proper style. Then the races came to Kiley's, with a steeplechase and all, for the folks were mostly Irish round about. But it takes an Aussie rider to be fearless of a fall. They were training morning in and morning out, but they never started training till the sun was on the course, where a superstitious rumor kept them back, that the ghost of Andy Reagan, on a slashing chestnut horse, was training by the starlight on the track. Then they saw the nominations to the races with surprise and amusement at the father's little joke, for a novice had been entered for the steeplechasing prize, and they found that it was Father Riley's moke. Oh, he was neat enough to gallop, and strong enough to stay, but his owner's views of training were immense. For the Reverend Father Riley used to ride him every day, and he never saw a hurdle or a fence. And the priest would join the laughter. Oh, he said, I put him in, for there's 25 sovereigns to be won. And the poor would find it useful if the chestnut horse should win, which he might do when all is said and done. He had called him Fa Abella, which is French for clear the course, and his colors were a vivid shade of green. All the Dooleys and O'Donnells were on Father Riley's horse, while the Orangemen were backing Mandarin. It was Hogan, the dog poisoner, aged man and very wise, who was camping on the race course with his swag. When he ventured the opinion, to the township's great surprise, that the race would go to Father Riley's nag. Oh, you can talk about your riders, and the horse has not been schooled, and the fences is terrific, and the rest. But when the field is fairly going, then you'll see you've all been fooled. The chestnut horse will prove to be the best. For there are some who's got condition, and they think the race is sure, and the chestnut horse will fall beneath the weight. But all the hopes of all the helpless and the prayers of all the poor will be running by his side to keep him straight. And it's what's the use of schooling and training on the track when the saints are there to guide you round the course. I've prayed him over every fence. I've prayed him out and back. I'll bet my cash on Father Riley's horse. Well, the steeple was a caution. They went tearing round and round, and the fences rang and rattled when they struck. There was some that cleared the water. There was more fell in and drowned. Some blamed the men, and others cursed their luck. And the whips were flying freely when the field came into view for the finish down the final stretch, of course. And in front of all the flyers, jumping like a kangaroo, came the rank outsider, Father Riley's horse. All the shouting and the cheering as he rattled past the post, for he'd left the others standing in the straight. And the rider, well, they reckoned it was Andy Reagan's ghost, and they wondered how a ghost would draw the weight. But he weighed in 9 stone 7, gave a laugh, and disappeared, like a banshee, which is Spanish for an elf. And old Hogan muttered sagely, if it wasn't for the beard, I'd be thinking it was Andy Reagan's self. Now the poor at Kiley's Crossing drink to health at Christmas time to the chestnut and his rider dressed in green. There was never such a rider, not since Andy Reagan died, and they wondered who on earth it could have been. But they settled it between them when the story got about amongst the bushmen and the people on the course, that the devil had been ordered to let Andy Reagan out for the steeplechase on Father Riley's horse.
All right. That was Dr. Stuart Burns. I love that.
I do too.
Yeah.
And you're right. He memorized it.
Yeah, yeah. He just sat there and said it.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Stuart. All right. Let me take a break here, and let's see where we are. Okay, we got to go with Judmont Farm. Yeah, and they raise a pretty good filly out there, too. Well, Princess of Silmar, Conqueror Royal Delta, 2 times winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic and the Grade 1 Belmont Invitational, has suffered but one defeat in the stakes this year. That defeat came in the Grade 2 Gazelle at Aqueduct, when she finished second, beating 3 1/4 lengths to Close Hatches. Now, Close Hatches is a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense. Close Hatches has also won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose, and the two rivals are, without question, the two best 3-year-old fillies in North America. The Sire Classic winner in your first crop was quite an accomplishment. First Defense is off to an impressive start at stud. First Defense is a Grade 1 Stakes winner by the Top Sire and Bridal Song and a Grade 1 Stakes winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to the Superior Sire's Empire Maker and Chester House. The second dam is famed Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year, Toussard. With such a background, comes as no surprise that First Defense is off to a grand start at stud, and he's receiving strong support from Judmont, where he stands, and from outside breeders. For more information, get in touch with Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, in stakes last week, all 10 of the following were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Jeffrey Chaunter, winner of the Group 1 Judmont Stakes, was bred by March Thoroughbreds and raised at Ashford Stud. Secret Compass, winner of the Grade 1 Chandelier, was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm and raised at Brandywine. Bond Holder, winner of the Grade 1 Front Runner, was bred by Virginia Client Lazy Lane Farms. Gradar, winner of the Grade 2 Kelso, was bred by Will Farish. Chips All In, winner of the Grade 3 ADD, was bred by Adina Springs. General Election, winner of the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup, was bred by Meg and Mike Buckley. Jose Seaview, winner of the Fitz Dean Jr. Memorial, was bred by Brereton C. Jones. Fort Larned, winner of the Homecoming Classic, was bred by Janice Whittaman, raised by John Penn. Wine Police, winner of the Remington Park Sprint Cup, was bred by John and Martha Mulholland. And Daddy Knows Best, winner of the Remington Green Stakes, was bred by Patricia Elia and raised by Bill Betts. That's 10 stakes winners, 6 graded stakes winners, 3 grade 1 stakes winners for customers of Macaulay Brothers. Congratulations to all. To add your name to the list, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Check the website at MacaulayBros.com. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it is all about the horse. Well, to sire 2 grade 1 stakes winners in one day, that's a feat seldom accomplished. That's just what Macho Uno did last Saturday when Private Zone won the Grade 1 Vosburgh at Belmont and Mucho Macho Man the Grade 1 Awesome Again Stakes at Santa Anita, a race named for the elite Adina Springs Stallion. Of course, that's Awesome Again. Both races are win and year-in events for the Breeders' Cup. Private Zone, bred and sold by Adina Springs, has earned $513,820. Mucho Macho Man has accumulated $2,590,410, and the Grade 1 Awesome Again was his 4th graded stakes win. He was also 2nd, beating just a half length in last year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Now let me point out that Chips All In, winner of the Grade 3 Eddie Reed last Saturday at Santa Anita, was, like Private Zone, bred and sold by Adina Springs, the nation's leading breeder for the 10 consecutive years. Now keep an eye on Tiago, a Grade 1 winner of some $2,358,000, noted for his stamina. His first foes are 2-year-olds. 2 have already placed in stakes, and his promising son, Blitzen, won a maiden special in impressive fashion on September 29 at Presque Isle. For more about the stallions at Adina Springs, call the farm, 859-987-1798, and see the website at adinastallions.com. All righty, let me see. I've got to take care of this over here, Jackie, for the KTA. My friend David Schweitzer over there announced the breeders of the stakes winners over the weekend. The Grade 1 Zenyatta was won by Beholder, bred by Clarkland Farm. That's Fred and Nancy Mitchell. Secret Compass, winner of the Grade 1 Chandelier Stakes, was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. The Futurity Stakes, Grade 2 at Belmont winner, In Trouble, he's by Tis Wonderful, was bred by Joseph Duffel. Gradar, winner of the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap in New York, was bred by Will Farish. The $100,000 ADD Stakes, Grade 3 at Santa Anita, Chips All In, another one bred by Adina Springs. General Election, winner of the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup at Churchill, by Harlan's Holiday, incidentally, bred by Meg and Mike Buckley. The Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby, $400,000 pot. Broadway Empire won that. He's by Empire Maker, bred by Mercedes Stables. Fort Larned won the Homecoming Classic Stakes. Fort Larned, bred by Janice Whittam. The Ponsatrain won the Unzip Me Stakes at Santa Anita. Ponsatrain is by Warfront over Claiborne Farm, bred by Lavin Bloodstock and Kenowitz Stables. The Remington Green Stakes went to Daddy Knows Best by Scat Daddy, bred by Patricia and Elia. Scat Daddy is at Ashford Stud. The Stanton Stakes of Delaware went to Shamoy, bred by John Kelly and Sarah Kelly. The Remington Park Oaks, Montana native, won that, bred by West Tanner Ranches. The Remington Park Sprint Cup, Wine Police by Sprightstown, bred by John and Martha Jane Mulholland. The Fitz Dixon Jr. Memorial at Presque Isle went to Jose Seaview. He's undefeated. He's by Badge of Silver, bred by Brereton C. Jones. The Albuquerque at Albuquerque's at Albuquerque, the Chamisa Handicap went to Joyful Tap, bred by Jack Swain. The Cantica Stakes at Belmont Park, Baby J won that, bred by Mrs. O.M. Patrick. The Alcibiades Stakes yesterday, My Conquistador by Artie Schiller, bred by my friend Paul Tackett. At Keeneland yesterday, the Stahl Keenan Ogden Phoenix Stakes, Grade 3, Some of the Parts. Another Sprightstown, this one bred by Farfellow Farm. That, my friends, is
a bunch.
That is a bunch. Whew. After all that, I'm going to need something to eat over at Red State Barbecue just to pick me up.
Oh, I'm just drooling over this stuff. Red State Barbecue over on Georgetown Road, 4020 Georgetown Road. I've never tasted better barbecue in my entire life, and I'm not kidding. You can have sandwiches or plates or ribs.
And she's eating a lot of barbecue in her life, and I'm not kidding.
I'm telling you that, well, that last week they brought some stuff here, the one show I missed, and brought home a couple of little dribs and drabs that were left over of the briskets out of this world. I just don't know that I ever knew what brisket was, and it's wonderful. Oh,
pretty good, wasn't it, Ressie?
Excellent.
It's out of this world. They've got sides to die for. I think their coleslaw is the best coleslaw I've ever had.
It's awful good.
It's
all
awful
their side
good.
Dishes are good.
Oh, potato salad, mac and cheese. They use what are those shell macaroni in their mac and cheese. And what happens when you use that? The cheese gets inside, and it's even cheesier. It's great. They cater. It's just a tremendous place to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was there right now.
If you want them to cater for you, they do a whole lot of catering for tailgaters.
Tailgaters, absolutely.
At the football games.
Football, yeah.
Now here's their number, 859 number, of course. It's Lexington, 233-7898, 233-7898. And they're located right after Georgetown Road on the right, about a mile from the bypass. Can't miss them. And go out there. And believe me, it's worth your trip. And the guy that owns it, David Carroll, came in here. He had a beard last week. I didn't recognize him.
That's
grown that beard since I saw him last time.
Incognito.
He came in incognito, but he came carrying those goodies. I sure recognize those.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, David. Thinking about coming over again. So.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's Red State Barbecue. You won't taste anything any better than that. That's for sure. All right, Jackie, you want to do some of those announcements?
Yes, I do. I have a funny one first. Carlin, of course, is the sire, and Susie Shirtlet, the outrider and clocker here now, said that they've named something by Carlin. You got to listen. Curl and iron. Isn't that funny? You're not paying, but he doesn't pay attention to me. Okay, I have another sort of off the strict reservation announcement. They have a great department over at the Ag School at UK. One of them, I think it's agronomy that works with seeds and plants and pastures. Somebody needs to think of some way to kill foxtail. That stuff is horrible. Horses won't eat it. I talked to a guy at the agriculture place the other day. Oh, I don't mind it. Cows eat it, but horses do not eat foxtail. And if you mow it, try to kill it before the leaves, the seeds mature, it comes out with 2 inches high. And you can't get rid of it. And then it flattens out and kills all the bluegrass. And it comes at the end of the summer when it's getting ready for bluegrass season. So somebody over there, wake up and get rid of this stupid foxtail. Okay, I'm finished with that. There's a current eBay auction of Monets going on now through the 21st, if you want to go online.
Let me interrupt you, honey. I'm sorry. We'll get right back to you. With 80% of the starters from the first two crops by the hair won, 20% have won a place in stakes. His biggest star to date is the multiple graded stakes winner, Gypsy Robin. She's won the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Beaumont Stakes at Keeneland, the $100,000 Sorority at Monmouth, the inaugural Stakes at Presque Isle, this year's renewal of the CERF Stakes at Del Mar, was second in the Grade 1 test at Saratoga. She's earned $558,900 now, and she is entered today in the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes at Keeneland. Good luck. Vadvada, a 2-year-old filly by De Hare, won a maiden special at Calder on September 6th, and Mahua, another 2-year-old filly by De Hare, it was a promising second in her first start on September 29 in a maiden special at Monmouth. They're all running. De Hare is a Grade 1 stakes winner by the elite sire Awesome Again. He's at Shadwell Farm. In the inquiries of stallion manager Kent Warrens, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. That's Dr. Bill Bernard and Dr. Wesley Sutter. And they're over on Georgetown Pike, right where in the intersection of Ironworks and Georgetown. You can't miss them. Of course, Dr. Sutter is a surgeon. And specializes in surgery, of course, what else, and sports medicine, orthopedic surgery is what his specialty is. And, of course, Dr. Bernard, he is an internal internist, Dr. Bernard's been around for quite a while now. He spent 20 years over at Rude Riddle before they started their facility over on Georgetown Pike. Great facility and state-of-the-art. Their scintigraphy is just state of the art. Their only standing MRI in the area is right there. It's a specialized in elective surgery, elective treating. What I'm talking about, if I can say it, you call up and tell them what your problem is and what you want done. Make an appointment. You come in, they take care of you, and you go home. They also, which is really good, tell you exactly what it's going to cost up front, and there'll be no surprises when you get the bill. It's a great place, and two excellent veterinarians. You won't find any better around. And once again, it's over on the Georgetown Pike, and it is the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. Wonderful place. So check it out. Well, last Saturday at Churchill, the Grade $300,000 Jefferson Cup was won by General Election, the 3-0 by Harlan's Holiday, bred by Meg and Mike Buckley. They sold him at OBS March sale for $150,000. General Election has won 3 stakes this year. Prior to the Jefferson Cup, he won the Grade 3 Arlington Classic and the John Battaglia Memorial. He is one of 31 2013 stakes horses by Harlan's Holiday, who ranked second in the nation in that category and 8th on the North American sire list among active sires in North America. In other stakes last weekend, Wine Police became the 16th 2013 stakes winner by Spitestown by winning the $150,000 Remington Park Sprint. He was bred by John and Martha Jane Mulholland, sold as yearling for $190,000. And then yesterday at Keeneland, the Grade 3 Phoenix was won by Some of the Parts, a 4-year-old by Spitestown. He won the Phoenix for 2 years in a row now, and he's this our 17th 2013 stakes winner. The nation's leading star, Spitestown, and Harlan's Holiday, ranks 8th on the sire list, both stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, and Chance Tim at 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
All right. I want to say congratulations to Terry Tubbs. He got married.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely wedding, and we were so happy to go, and it was wonderful. The groom sang. He can sing. And the bride cried. It was a perfect wedding. Okay. The 2013 Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, October 26th, Halloween Trail Ride, Use Tax Sale, and Ride-A-Thon. Pay attention and go. It's so much fun. Old Friends is going to celebrate Kentucky Thoroughbred history to Sunday night at, what's the name of that? Holly Hill. And $25 you can go. Rerun is having a non-thoroughbred eBay auction of Monets. When it gets closer to the Breeders' Cup, she didn't miss a trick. She went out and got Breeders' Cup participants to make Monets. They'll be on sale from October 28th through November 4th. The horses that are actually
Mary Simon.
Yeah, Mary Simon. Monet Mary, they call her.
We've got some of her work in here, I think.
Yeah. Clipping and Braiding Clinic This is a scam, Zara. This girl, I know this girl, she hunts with Woodford. She's having a clipping and braiding clinic, so you can learn how to clip and braid. And they're going to do her horses, and it costs you $25. The girl's a genius. Anyway, it's Sunday, the 27th of October. I wish I'd thought of that. Anyway, give Zara a call, 317-1523. There's going to be a fox hunting seminar October 19th at Shakertown in the West Lot Barn, $40 for adults, $20 for kids. What?
One more. Oh, a Sunday?
Kathy Murphy saving 100 pace, Sunday, October 20th at her place on Grimes Mill.
Wait a minute, I'm not through. You can come back. Sunday at Belmont, the historic grade 2 $200,000 fraternity was won by In Trouble. Tuyokova Tears One, full bred by Joseph Duffel. He was a $120,000 OBS April sale, 2-year-old. In Trouble is undefeated. Won his debut on August 10 at Saratoga, sprinting 6 furlongs in 9 and 3 to take the fraternity by 2 1/4 lengths. In Trouble is one of 12 two-year-old winners from the second crop by Tears Wonderful. Cyber graded 2-year-old stakes winner now in both crops of racing age. Last year, My Happy Face won the grade 3 Tempted in New York. Was beaten in a photo in a grade 1 Frisette. She has won the Lotka Stakes at Belmont this year and placed in the grade 1 CCA Oaks, the grade 1 Tess, and the grade 2 Forward Gal. She's earned over $500,000. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner as a 2-year-old, is considered to be the most precocious son of Hall of Famer Tis now, and in his good beer, he's well on his way to becoming his best son at stud. Tis Wonderful stands at Spendthrift. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker, and see the website SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Jackie.
Okay, Bluegrass Charities is having their Racino Rendezvous for 10 years. Friday, October 18th. It's formal.
For 10 years?
They've had it 10 years.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to last a long time.
Oh, well, life is a banquet, you know. So, anyway, it's, like I said, Mary Lee Butte, you can probably, the best thing to do is go to Bluegrass Farms Charities. I don't have a phone number. It just sent us a nice invitation. Let's see. That's over. Sunday, November 3rd, Masterson Equestrian Trust. That's out at the Masterson Park. 100 pace. Pace divisions, jumping, non-jumping, trail riders, family class. Very low-key, laid back. I'm glad to see they're doing it. Let's see, what's at the horse park this weekend? Kentucky Classic Combined Driving Event, that's so much fun to watch. Fall Classic Saddlebred Show, Pasofino. I never saw anything like moving like those Pasofinos. They pound their little feet right on the ground. I'm not sure if that's what they're supposed to do, but I guess it is, so who am I to say anything about that? Monday, October 7th, the 2013 Pedigree and Confirmation Clinic, TOBA Presents, is starting. It goes Monday and Tuesday. Get online for TOBA if you're interested. Ah, gee whiz. I don't know. That's Alltech National Horse Show, October 29th through November 3rd. That's huge. Call the horse park about tickets. Oh, you know they had that thing where Author and Author Hancock played at Shakertown,
yeah,
to raise money. It was packed.
Good.
Yes. So that was a great thing, you know.
I've got an announcement to make.
Okay, announce it.
We'll be on to regular time next week and
yeah,
the following week. And trainers from the Thoroughbred Center who saddled winners just here recently, Ted Lucas, Tanya Balmitas, Eduardo Caramore, Paul McEntee, and Wayne Mokey. And that should just about wrap it up for us. I think they're playing our little goodbye song down there. And sorry we had to rush through this, but I don't know.
It was a good show. It was lots of fun.
Okay, yep, nice people on the show.
Thanks, Stuart.
Yep, Burns. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Tell me.